If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 34 of Sir Kevin Says. Man, today is going to be a great one.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Jeffrey Davis in the house.
What up, y'all?
Pastor, bishop, apostle, maestro, teacher.
We're just going to stick to pastor.
Bro, how you doing, man?
I'm excellent, man.
Thank you for coming through.
So good to be here.
How's everything going?
Man, I'm blessed, man.
Yeah?
Full week. Coming off a full week, man, but it's just like, you know, this type of stuff energizes me. You know,
yeah.
Get to be with my family.
Yeah.
You know, get to talk a little life, you know, chop a little shop. What we always do every
exactly,
time we're with
man.
Each other. You know
it's been
mean?
Fun, so bro. It's been fun.
A blessing, yeah. Man. Such a blessing.
Merry Christmas
to
you. And Merry Christmas to all those who are going to be watching and hearing this. Today is the 25th of December. Super excited. We're celebrating the Lord's, I was going to say nacimiento, which is in Spanish, but Lord's birth.
Come on.
Oh, man. That's a Latino side
of
me, bro.
Yes, sir. Bring it out. Bring it out. Yes. Bring it out.
Some know him as a drummer, beat maker, and producer. However, Jeffrey Davis has become the recent addition to the Verve community staff as campus pastor for the city of Pomona. For over 20 years, Jeffrey has worked with budding. Is that correct, budding?
Uh-huh.
Okay, budding. And established artists as a musician, as well as served families and students for various nonprofits. Jeffrey loves his family, nature, and avocado toast.
Bro.
Did you have that this morning?
I wish. I wish. There's a spot out here in the IE called the Combined. I always pronounce it totally incorrect, but it's called the Combined Kitchen, or I call it Combine Kitchen,
okay.
just to make it a special. But they do avocado toast with pickled red onion.
Wow.
Or like pickled red radish, something like that.
Yeah.
Gives it like that red onion feel. And then if you want addition, like put bacon on top of it.
Oh, man.
My brother.
Sounds delicious, bro.
Amazing. Amazing. And then what I start doing is, I was like, of course, if I don't want to spend money, I'll just go to like the local market.
Yeah.
Get me some avocados.
Right.
And I'll make just like a guacamole like mash. And then I'll get like some good sourdough bread.
Oh,
make
man.
Make that bang. You know what I mean?
I haven't had breakfast yet, so it's getting me hungry, bro.
Avocado toast.
Yes.
Is
so good, man.
I love food anyways.
Right.
And you kind of, I'm blaming that on you as well.
With the Peruvian spot.
bro.
JP Latin Deli, Rancho Cucamonga. If you guys are ever out in the IE, that's the spot to go to.
Make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah,
Lomo Saltalo. You like the chicken saltalo, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then also I did the chow mein type dish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Fan.
Yeah, tallarin saltalo with beef or chicken?
Chicken. I usually keep it chicken for the most part. But
that's cool.
It blessed my soul one day, man. And I was like, I was in a really good place.
Yeah.
Really good
place.
Well,
bro, welcome, man. Thank you so much for coming. Christmas Day. Really excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on. You recently became a pastor, as I was reading in your bio,
yes,
at Verve Community. Talk to us about your typical day, bro. How's that going?
So, I mean, every day is different.
Okay.
At the church, because there's so many needs,
yeah,
you know what I mean, that take place. And then with my role, as you've seen, I'm doubling up. So now our campus hasn't been established yet, but we're in the processes of working those things out.
Sure.
So we've done like summertime services just to kind of like as interest, like small interest services just to kind of let people know like this is where we want to be. But then there's been like a lot of outreach that has been taking place. So probably for like the last 2 weeks, we did, our church specifically did two what we recognize as Christmas malls. And on one of the Christmas malls was actually in Pomona. So we literally have the opportunity to serve 125 to 150 families that
day.
And we passed out about 250, maybe close to 300 or more gifts that day. Of knowing the times that we're living in, of course, like we ensured that it was, we practiced safety, made sure that there were 6 feet apart. But literally individuals, like, didn't matter where you came from, but we're just letting you know that, like, in the city of Pomona, there's a church that is going to join this
That's
faith
awesome,
journey.
Man.
That's
we're going to pass out gifts. We're going to love on people. Another thing that I've been doing, there's another nonprofit out in Pomona called God's Pantry.
Okay.
That I've been spending some time with them. I get the opportunity to, like, you know, either package groceries. This nonprofit actually, I would say in a day, easily are probably serving 250 families, if not more.
Wow, man.
Like, I know for Pomona, at least every Wednesday, and there's this drive-through line of people are getting groceries. So, like, they have, like, this full warehouse. So, supporting them in the process.
That's awesome,
and just
man.
Building relationships. And then, you know, the rest of the week, you know, is making sure that, you know, that Sunday mornings are taken care of, especially when it comes to, like, the musicians, making sure that everybody has tracks.
Yep.
You know, for people that are in the church world, like Planning Center, making sure that Planning Center is going out, you know, supporting our production team.
Definitely.
Making sure that, like, all that stuff is put together. Sunday morning, making sure that the band is taken care of. Making sure that, just kind of serving as a middleman for, like, production, tech, and musicians on Sunday. So, literally, you know, Tuesday through Sunday, I'm in some type of process of making sure something's together for Sunday morning.
Right.
What else is a part? And then, of course, staff meetings and, you know, making sure that, like, all those, like, just small details are put together just for the main campus until Pomona actually establishes, like, an official, like, official campus and official start.
Yeah.
So, but it's a grind, man.
That's awesome, man.
It's good. It's good stuff.
A lot of good stuff. Yeah.
It's real, but it's a beautiful thing, especially when you start to see lives positively impacted. Even in the small grand scheme of what, like, I wouldn't even small is not the word, but even in the grand scheme of what we're doing, you know what I mean? Like, that you just really hear these really cool stories of people just, like, feel like they're being seen, especially again in the times that we're living in. So,
right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, but how did that all come about?
Before the church was called Verve, it was called Red Chapel before. And a long time ago, just try to make this as short as possible. A long time ago, one of our mutual friends called me to sub there.
Yeah.
He called me to sub there to see, like, if I could fill in. So I played when they were off of Jack Benny next to the Quake Stadium. I played. I enjoyed my time there, but I left. Typical. After, like, I played, stayed for the service, did my thing.
Yeah, and dipped.
And dipped. You know what I mean? Like, I was filling in. And then randomly what ended up taking place, one Sunday I was late for church, the church that I was attending at that time. I was mad late. There was two services. I have this weird thing where I like to go to the first service, and I was like, man, it's going to get packed.
Yeah.
So let me just visit them. So I visited them, came across one of our mutual friends who was music director at the church at the time. How we all got reconnected, I start playing there. I end up getting, like, on a rotation. Really got close with my now lead pastor, like my pastor now. And we just, like, kind of just, like, clicked. And he used to always come to me and say, like, Jeffrey, we're going to do ministry with each other one day. And I'm like, all right.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, you know, and sometimes, like, I accepted it for what it was. You know, I let people talk. But he was like, we're going to do ministry. I was like, okay, cool. So, man, I kept on playing there. There was just, like, a small gap where I wasn't playing there for a time just because of, like, other things that were taking place.
Sure.
I got a call back again saying, like, hey, Jeff, like, you know, we need a drummer for this Sunday. Would you be willing? Our pastor's wife, Pastor Sonia, reached out to me, was like, hey, we need a drummer. And I was like, yeah, I'll play. So I'd, like, end up getting set up where I play, like, a particular Sunday. Things just kept on moving forward. There were some really positive transitions that took place in the church where a music director position opened up for me. And so they reached out to me. It's like, hey, Jeff, like, you know, there's some, like, just positive transitions that are taking place. We're just, like, moving some things around. Would you be open to consider the music director position?
Man.
At that time, I was already established at my home church.
Right.
Like, I was playing. I was in a rotation. I was playing at all these churches. And, like, literally what took place was, like, okay, I was like, I'll pray about it. I talked to my mentors about it. I talked to my parents about it. And I said, hey, you know, like, this is an opportunity that popped up. You know, can you guys be in prayer for me about it? So when I was praying about it, because I was also working a full time.
Yeah,
at that time.
That's right. That's
you know
right.
what I mean? I'm
yeah.
working. I'm still working, like, 5 days a week on top of considering. Now, this is the crazy thing about this story. So I pray about it. I feel in my heart, like, this thing. And it wasn't even so much a yes. It was like, Jeffrey, if you don't do this, you're going to miss out on something special. that's what hit
Man.
My heart. I was like, you're going to miss out on something special. You need to take this position. So, like, literally, I went through the processes that I accepted. Like, I think the last... What was, like, the first week? No, it was, like, the last week of February, I believe, I accepted. I put in my 2 weeks, or, like, my last or 2 weeks notice at our church that we were attending
yep,
at that time.
Yep.
And I started like the third week of March. The crazy thing about the third week of March was the first week of COVID.
Yeah.
So that's I became music director like the first week that COVID hit. The crazy thing about that, we were actually in the middle of starting Easter Productions.
Man.
So I literally walked in guns blazing. You know what I mean? Making sure like, because we had to do with pivoting, had to do about like five different recordings for that Easter week, including the Sunday service. So like coordinating bands, all that kind of fun stuff.
Wow,
it was wild.
Yeah.
What ended up taking place, like I already had already been feeling in my heart. I was at my current employer, Big Brothers Big Sisters, who I still love. I still talk to the people to this day. Was there for about 4 years.
Man.
I was about to reach 5 years in August. This last August would have made 5 years if I would have still been there. I had already been feeling my heart. Like, that guy was moving some things.
Definitely.
He was shifting some things. And in that same process, my pastor had already been verbally dreaming, like, I think that God is moving us to Pomona. And I remember being in those meetings or, like, around him, like, man, whatever God says, like, man, like, follow it. Like, don't worry about us. You do it. I don't even if he remembers those conversations. Literally, me and him, we got, like, let's say, like, 2 months later. If that conversation started in March, I would say, like, 2 or 3 months later, me and him found ourselves on a call. And I thought he just wanted to talk to, like, he was talking to me about, like, the campus, but I was, like, thinking in my head, well, I'm a music director. I love being music director here. I'll do whatever I need to do to make sure that both campuses are taking place from the music director position. Can you guys just maybe hook me up with some office work?
Yeah.
Or, like, some janitorial work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I can do the music director job. You guys can maybe, like, hook me up with just something extra here. You know what I mean? And then I'll figure out a way with, like, beat making and producing.
Yeah.
To do something else. You know what I mean? And then they told me to stop. Both of them were on the phone. Pastor Sonia and Pastor Johnny were on the phone with me. They're like, stop. And they're like, Jeffrey, like, we hear your heart, but this is also our heart for you in regards to the church.
Man.
And they presented the idea, what would you feel like to be campus pastor?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my Lord. You know what I mean? I was like, let me pray about it, because there were a lot of pros. And I wouldn't say so much cons, but there were a lot of things like that I really needed to consider, because that would be a huge step.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Prayed about it. I believe I accepted the position like second or third week of June. I put in my 2 weeks at Big Brothers Big Sisters. I let them know, like, and it wasn't one of the beautiful things about it. It wasn't one of those things of like, I'm gone. It was like really a bittersweet leaving, because I'm actually in the process of the role that I was doing at Big Brothers Big Sisters. I had literally watched about 4 graduating classes go through the process of graduation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? High school graduates and elementary school students that I was like pouring into, making sure that they were connected in the process. You know what I mean? So
Definitely. It
was like, I'm leaving like families and like a lot of pouring in. So it was like one of those things like, snaps. But also, I accepted because God had already been talking to me about this like 3 years ago.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, I had been feeling on my heart strong that God was like, Jeff, like, I'm calling you to be a pastor.
How did that come to you? You know, like, sometimes we receive word from other people.
Right.
Was that how it came about? Or like,
those words were being spoken over me like 10 years ago. People would be randomly would tell me like, Jeff, you're going to be a pastor. Like, my friend's like, Jeff, don't worry about that. Like, you're going to be a pastor. I'm like, nah. And at first I was like, yeah, God, like, whatever. And then there was a point, like, you know, especially being a musician, because you love it so much, like, I would rather not. Like, I was even to the place. I would rather not.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of reasons, too, in that process. A lot of reasons in that process. Some of it was just like, I just really wanted to do music, like, full time. And I was, and you know, the like, I want to be careful how I use the word, but like the work that I was putting in.
Definitely,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Because we would like, man, we would trade gigs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
you would give me a lot of work, which I thank you to you and Alex, all the homies in that circle. I thank you guys to this day.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But it was just one of those things of like, man, I just would rather not. And just there's like a lot of, I have like almost like a small list of like, these are things I would rather not do. And I even told the Lord, I was like, I'd rather be like a youth evangelist. So I'll do like a spot date here. And I'll get back on the kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll get back in the studio. And some of it was personality. And just some of it was just like the uncomforts of what being a pastor is.
Yeah.
And I remember three years ago. And I remember like, I have notebooks. I have things in my journal. And I remember having those conversations with my dad. I was like, man, dad, I don't know what God is doing, but I just feel this impression in my heart. Like, and so I feel this impression in my heart. So, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. Man. Like, let's keep it in there. What people don't know is I'm a third generation pastor on both sides of my family now.
Man.
So both my grandfathers, my dad, and then my mom being a mad support to my dad in his ministry.
Yeah.
In his journey of 30 plus years of ministry. And then now me. You know what I mean? So
that's
like
amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So and I think that was also another reason why, like, I look up to my grandfathers, I look up to my father, and I'm kind of like, man, and then people see them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're gonna be just like your daddy. Like, please don't say that. Please don't say it, you know? But then when that moment hit, it was just like, dang God, like you're not gonna let me run away from this. You know what I mean?
That's
like
good,
you're
man.
Just not. And so I was like, you know, it was just one of those things of let me walk this process out. You know what I mean? Let me be obedient to God now. You know what I mean? And whatever the fruit or whatever comes out of this process, man, we're going to sit in it. You know what I mean? And God's going to grace me for it. Not saying that I'm going to be perfect at it. I'm going to make my mistakes. You know, not everybody's going to like me. You know what I mean? Like,
I haven't met one person that does not like you. Just so you know. So, and I'm being serious. You know, like some people are like, you know, they have tough personalities, you know,
right.
tough skin, but.
I think this is what I know. This is what I know. You know, people like you. People like people until they recognize sometimes titles. And sometimes even in this position, I haven't had to exercise it a lot. You know what I mean? But there is an authority that does come with the process.
Of course.
So if I have to, I know one day there's going to come a day where I have to correct somebody in love. And that correction and love might come as judgment. Mm. It's not judgment.
Right.
I'm loving you to the best of my abilities, especially if I'm being submitted to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good, man.
And sometimes, like, even when authority has, like, and this is not just me, but when authority has the ability to correct people, they don't like it, and it becomes offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know that maybe people might like me now, but I know, like, in 10 years, people might not always like me. And that is okay, though. Still love them anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good, man.
Like it really is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
yes.
We're just in that society. Now I won't say generation, but we're just in that society where it's like authority is like the how authority figures use their authority like has to be checked, but also how people receive authority
exactly.
also has to be
not taken personally in any way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's why, you know, authority, like, that's why we have bosses. That's why we have managers.
Yeah.
That's why we have music directors.
Yeah.
Imagine if we went to the bandstand and there was no somebody to say, no, like, let's not do that turnaround.
Right.
Let's not go to that chord progression.
That's
let's not
good,
use
man.
That rhythm. Like, it would be utter chaos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the places that we want to go, we might not be able to get there as quick as we want to. Because we have nobody to put their arms around us and say, hey, like, there's better in you, or you're not hitting it right.
Yeah.
We talked about him earlier, Daniel Johnson, right?
Oh, incredible, man.
Bro, one time I remember I was playing service at Abundant, where we were at, and I was playing a song, and I was playing the groove matched the song, but it wasn't it. And I never forget him silently walking up. He's like, the swing is not right. And it shocked me. It's like, dang, the swing wasn't right. So I remember, like, but in that moment, he was loving enough to come and say, like, yo, like, I could either let you sit and think that you're doing a great job right now, or I can help you give the record what it actually needs.
Right.
And we can go somewhere with it. And I was like, I'm willing to take the ability for the record to go somewhere.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
For like what we talked about earlier, like for the congregation.
Right.
Not just for Jeffrey's camera time. Not just for it to say that Jeffrey was killing, but like it corrected me. It helped me, but it also helped others. You know what I mean? So we need authority figures. We need a balance in that.
Accountability. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What you were talking to with Joe,
mm-hmm.
Joseph about, like, you know, that ability of what accountability does give us. You know
right,
what I mean? So
right, that's good.
Yeah,
man.
Man.
Yeah.
It's crazy though. This season, like, it's been a lot of new. It's a lot of new,
yeah.
man, but it's healthy, man. And it's like every day I'm growing, and every day I'm learning to be better. And I'm learning to even be more human in the process.
Yeah.
So, man, it's beautiful.
Well, let me ask you this, because you have so many responsibilities now to the church, to the worship team, all these mm-hmm. different things. What do you do to unwind in your spare time?
Man, I love 2K.
PS4, right?
PS4.
Okay,
yeah.
Don't come at me with the Xbox, bro. No, sir.
Yeah, like, so 2K has helped. Playing 2K, reading helps me a lot. I like to read just to fill me up, whether that be, like, my Bible. Thank God for, like, good friends. Like, we do the We do like group Bible studies on the Bible app. You know what I mean? So like just even as a like a for the most part, I'm not always successful, but for the most part, like I like to start my day off with that.
Yeah.
Reading, but then also like if I get a day off or if I don't have so much to do, Mount Rubido lately, like these last couple weeks have been a blessing.
Yeah.
Mount Rubido has been a blessing. But then also the beach. You know what I mean? Take my book, take my journal, you know, hit Laguna or Huntington.
Yep.
In a nice social distance space. Write a little bit, put my feet in the water, you know what I mean? Walk around the city, you know what I mean? You know, eat some pizza, just something that will refuel me, you know what I mean? And then like if, you know, if family is around, like when I'm able to spend time with family, like I'll spend time with family just to like be like just normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and just not be on.
Nice.
You know, just like just really chill and then just listen to as much music as possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just like stay inspired and keep that motor running because that also feeds my soul. You know what I mean? Because you hear the language.
Yeah.
You know
of course,
in
man.
That. You know what I mean?
Who are you listening to right now?
I discovered an album that came out 2017 by this gentleman by the name of Dave James.
Okay.
And then so if you're a Christian hip hop head, everybody knows who Andy Mineo is.
Yeah.
Andy Mineo had a song, I believe it was on the Sword album. And it's like this really cool intro. It sounds like this raspy dude singing this rock song. It's called like What If. David James actually wrote the original song in 2017. It's like a full length song. And that's been like one of my go-to albums. I've been listening to Andy Mineo. I've been trying to like, yesterday I tapped into some Kendrick Scott again.
Oh man, I love Kendrick Scott.
Some Nate Smith.
Nate Smith, yeah.
I've just been everywhere. Like, yeah. I'm literally everywhere on like the music spectrum mm-hmm. when it comes to like who I'm listening to. A lot of Hillsong lately. They came out with two albums, Hillsong United and I think Young and Free came out with like kind of like mixtape style worship albums. Mm. Where they just really completely vamped how they approach their like their worship music. That has been amazing. Man, and then like J. Cole, you know what I mean? Clean version,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? But like I listened to like some J. Cole, like on especially like the 2014 Forest Hills Drive album. That's like one of my favorite albums. This Christian rapper by the name of Swoop. Dre Murray's 34 album, which is like one of my favorite albums. So I was like, man, that's cool. I get to be the 34th episode.
That's you know what I mean? So
it's like all that, you know what I mean? So it's been good. Those are like a lot of the people I like to like listen to. And it just depends on what mood I'm in.
Yeah.
But a lot of like hip hop, jazz, gospel, CCM. I'll try to throw some R&B here and there, some like EDM. You know what I mean? Just depends on the mood I'm in for the time being.
Do you get some time to practice?
I always try to keep sticks next to me. You know what I mean? Like either in my room or in my office. Not as much as I would like to. But what I've been trying to do, utilize as a mode of practicing is just continue to stay listening to music.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Like understanding structure. Because a lot of times now with the bands, especially at church, because I'm not playing as much, I'm doing a lot of more verbalizing and vocalizing of, hey, like this is the direction that we can go in. Let's think about this in this section of like the service. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of more like preparation, a lot of more Ableton prep that I'm doing, which has been amazing. Like, really just trying to get good on Ableton, like a lot of like the behind the scenes, because it's going to work well on both spectrums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
like
sure.
a lot of just more behind the scenes, A&R producer type things instead of like playing. But then like when I'm at the crib, if I get to work on somebody's project, then like I'll set up the kit. I'll make sure that my hands are and my feet are ready. And then, like, I'll just go
nice,
for it.
Nice, man.
Yeah, man.
You have any other passions we don't know about, bro?
Man, I love to cook. I really love to cook. When I get a chance to, like, when I have the energy to, like, there was a season, and I still owe you and the fellas tacos. Like, I still owe you guys that, man. When things clear up, I got
the
tacos.
Let's go.
But I like to cook. I like to write. You know what I mean? There's, like, a side of me that really wants to write, like, write songs, write literature. I used to blog a lot when, like, I was, like, it like out of my college days. Like, a lot of, like, personal development type stuff. Exercise, you know what I mean? Like when the gyms were like consistently open, like I was at the gym like pretty regularly. You know, and just like just enjoying life, you know what I mean? Like just really doing my best, like just to find ways to enjoy life. I've been just in a discovery mode lately. So like going to the beach, you know what I mean? Going to the mountains, like things of that
nature.
That's
a beautiful thing. I think I told Joseph this, that like living here in California, we pretty much have everything at our fingertips, you know?
Yeah.
Like the beach is only a 30 to 40 minute drive. The mountains are only less than an hour. I mean, when the parks were open, you can go to Disneyland if you want to do that for the day. Knott's Berry Farm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and the weather is, for the most part, great.
We're blessed. I was talking to my dad and I was like, Sunday, I was like, you know, I'll probably go to church that morning because we get the last Sunday off at my church. So I was like, I'll probably go to somebody's church. And I think I'll go to the beach. She was like, man, where else, you know, during the wintertime? Yeah. He's like, where else in the wintertime do you know that you can go? You can go somewhere. Right. You know what I mean? Go to the beach. You know what I mean? Because the East Coast, my parents are on the East Coast.
Oh, man.
So, like, they're expecting snow this week.
Winter snow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've been in, like, East Coast winters.
Oh.
That's, like, just karate chop to your ankles.
Yeah.
Like, consistently, bro. Like, it's, like, deep, like, bone cold. And in California, like, it's, like, almost 79 degrees right now in the wintertime. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, we're so blessed.
Yeah.
We're so blessed,
that's
man.
Funny.
Yeah.
Man.
But like simple stuff, still trying to keep everything artistic based. I love museums. You know what I mean? Like when I get to go. And just like, just yeah, discover new things. But food, man, you could always find me like a food spot. You know what I mean? On my off days or when I'm not supposed to be off. You know what I mean?
Man, when you posted that you became campus pastor at Verve, I was so excited, man.
Wow, man. Thank you, bro.
Because I was like, this is definitely what Jeffrey was meant for.
Yeah.
You know, beyond just music, you know, which you kill at that.
Appreciate that.
But the fact that you get to be a pastor and oversee people and love on people, which you already do, because every time we're in conversation or we meet up for a brief second at Abundant, how you doing, bro? What's new?
What's going on?
You know, so I'm super excited that that's fulfilled itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's crazy too, man, because it's like, you know, again, we're just like, I laugh and I'm like, God, you're like, you're funny. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the season, because if it was up to me, not saying that I would say no, but it's like, man, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You know what I mean? We're in the, like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I got called during like a lot of social injustice at the time. You know what I mean? So it's like, man, God, like, bro, you know what I mean? You're like, bro, like you're, you know, like you're, you know, it really goes back, and we talk about this all the time, and I think we alluded it in our conversation yesterday. You know, God really does have a plan for all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the way, like, you know, I'm learning still how to work with people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, but again, going back to those, I worked with kids for about 10 years. People don't really, like, people know me for either one or either sides. People know me for, like, my time in nonprofit world. Or people know me as a musician. People, like, a lot of, unless you're, like, in this type of proximity of relationship, people don't know me for both, like, at the same time.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So, but, like, those 10 years of working after school program, working in, like, the foster and adoption reunification services, working in the mentoring section, like, that's all people. And not only are you working with people, you're working with people from all forms of demographic, affluent, you know, barely making it. You're working with all those individuals. You're working with Black, White, Hispanic.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
You know what I mean?
Bro.
You're working with all of those. So you have to, like, you have to adjust with those people. But it's the same thing in the music world, right? You're working with Grammy Award winning. You're working with Instagram influencer. You know, you're working with all these people, and you still have to learn how to balance those. It kind of, you and Ryan had me laughing yesterday. It's not that I don't get mad. but it's what do I do with my anger when I'm frustrated?
Yeah.
How do I speak to people? You know what I mean? I was thinking about this even after we left, you know, our conversation. One thing that we've done in society, and you could probably attest to this, like, we almost glorify the idea of tearing people down. And I'm at fault for it. Like, there's been moments where I've been upset. I said things to people to purposely tear them down.
Mm.
The job shouldn't be for me to tear you down, especially in my role, whatever position I'm in. My job should be like, hey, this is how I feel. It might hurt, but if my total purpose was to tear you down, then I've lost the argument already.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's good, man.
So the goal is not to I'm really working even in the grace that God has given me, not to speak to you to tear you down. And to even be mindful of doing it to be like, I told you so, but like, this is how I feel. And this is just some perspective to maybe help. Because at the end of the day, at the end of it all, the perspective might not change on the other person's end. And it's not even about me saying like, hey, I'm speaking my truth, but it's really about, okay, like, this is how I honestly feel. I'm willing to find resolution for the process. And I'm going to be okay with being upset. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's a natural emotion.
Yeah.
God's given us that emotion that can come out even creatively. Like,
right.
Man, I'm really angry right now, and I'm going to let it out musically in this moment. You know what I mean? Man, but what I do, how do I bounce back after the frustration? How do I move forward after this frustration? How do I deal with my emotions? Do I leave the bottle in, or will I journal it out? Will I pray it out? Will I exercise it out? Those are things that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like we have to, when we learn how to channel these emotions, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm willing to work at it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because there's going to be a day where like those things are going to, again, be in my hands. You know what I mean? And it's like, we talk about this all the time, but I've heard somebody say, like, even like in the context of marriage, I literally have like, you literally have the bullet. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, to like cripple somebody, like, it's clocked in the gun, but like, am I going to use this to tear down the person that like I'm in a relationship with, or am I going to use this gun to protect them? You know what I mean?
Wow,
knowing,
man.
You know what I mean? Knowing that I have this piece of armory that can do mad damage. So I'm going to use this to protect. Same thing in relationships, whether it be in the church context, the music context. You know what I mean? And then of course you make decisions outside of that. But it's like, am I going to use this gun to really tear you down, or are we going to use this to protect each other?
That's good.
And to build each other, and to maybe find some resolution so that we can both win in the same context, you know?
Yeah,
so,
that's good, man. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, man.
Jeff, I ask this question to everybody. It's one of my favorite questions. You probably already know what it is. So I'm giving you the heads up regardless. But
yeah.
What does value mean to you, bro?
Yeah, man. So I was preparing myself. I honestly, the first time I heard you ask this question, I struggled with this answer. You know what I mean? But I'll put it like this, and this is my pre-made answer. So I'm getting people on the. I would say number one, value is subjective. Everybody has their idea what value is.
Definitely.
But if it was for me, I would say it enhances. Mm. It's like, it's the idea of enhancing. And I think about that word from like a musical aspect.
Yeah.
You know, when I talked to you guys about this the other day, when I get to call people for a gig, it is for the ability to, they bring something to the table.
Yeah.
So if there's already a foundation or something fundamental that's taking place, it is to enhance the experience that's already taking place.
That's good. Yeah.
I would also, but also on the other end that of that value, I would say it's something that is held dearly. You know what I mean? So we talked about this earlier about like the idea of relationships. Or just the moment. You know what I mean? We talk about like our favorite drummers and when we experience them.
Yes.
Like we value that experience.
Right.
We hold that very dearly. You know what I mean? It's like any family member that has like a teddy bear, man, like, you know, this is an heirloom that's passed down. Like it can only be worth 10 cents at the thrift store.
Man.
But it's something that I hold on to like very dearly. But it also on the other, like it enhances like the experience. It enhances my mood. It strengthens my mental rapport because this is something that like is something that I don't want to let go.
Yes.
So I see like a value as two things. Like it's one thing that enhances, it strengthens, but it's also something that we hold very dearly, you know what I mean, to our hearts, regardless of like the situation.
Man.
So I've heard some of your guys, like some of the other guys talk about like value and what they want to do with value. And I think that's like the same thing with me. Like wherever I'm at, one of my personal quotes, like wherever I'm at, I want to be a difference maker.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's good.
I want to be a difference maker. And it's not like, yeah, I might not be like the most killing cat right here, but know that the energy is going to be there.
Right.
I'm going to do my best to have a good attitude. I'm going to make sure that I'm respectful to everybody that's around me. And I think I can bring value in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also for the audience, especially when it comes from a musical context, I want them to be able to hold on to something that they'll forever remember.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like wherever we go. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man. Let me ask you this. As a music director, even though you haven't had the instance happen, if you were to deal with somebody, let's say that you brought on that was recommended to you, a keyboard player, drummer, bassist, guitar player, whatever the case might be, and you noticed they had a tough persona,
mm-hmm.
just off the bat, the way they approached the setting, you know, maybe they came unprepared. Like, what would be your direction? How would you handle that?
Yeah, I think tough persona, let's start with a tough persona. And I think there's some studying that you could do from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah.
There's a book that I'll throw out there. It's called Spirit Control Temperament by Tom LaHaye.
Okay.
I'm going to throw that, as you guys know, I said I'm a book reader. So I have to throw out at least one book. There's a book called Spirit Control Temperament. And what he talks about is everybody has like a personality type or a temperament.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm a INTJ. That's like my like introvert, you know, style, like creative, like that type of thing. So doing your best to maybe understand temperaments first, I think that helps you from a leadership standpoint. Because if you're jolly and you're happy, but the person's like a little more withdrawn and you're trying to give this energy, you're going to get frustrated. If you understand that this person, number one, is always been like a little more withdrawn, you're going to approach that person just a little differently.
Right.
You're not going to get as frustrated.
That's
good. You
know
what I mean? So understanding, like trying to understand the person and not just like, okay, they're a keyboard player, because they might not be arrogant. They might be the nicest person ever, but they might not just put off like a ton of like sonic energy.
Yeah.
So I would say like try to understand people's personalities first before just getting frustrated. I would say if they're bringing a building attitude, check in on them. You know what I mean? Like, hey, like I noticed that your energy is a little off. You know what I mean? Or just encourage them, like, hey, like I see you're working hard. They could be sick, but they got an argument coming from home. Just like affirm them, like, hey, I'm just so happy for you to be here.
Yeah.
I try to affirm people.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're like, great at that, man.
Appreciate
you're
that.
Awesome
man.
At that.
Like,
yes.
Affirm them because, again, it might have nothing to do with them being at the gig. It might be something that they're bringing home from the gig. And after you affirm them two or three times, whether they receive it or don't receive it, then you leave them alone and you let them be. And just really, then what you try to do is not so much keep the energy on them, but focus on everybody else that's giving 100%.
Definitely.
And just ask other people to bring out the best of themselves to bring out the whole situation.
Yes.
And I would say for the unprepared, you have to, I haven't had, thank God I haven't had to really deal with unpreparedness. Like the guys that I get to work with, I would say come very prepared and very ready to play. But what I would say if somebody is lacking, you know what I mean? Or maybe the part is not there, I think those are the moments where you have to be creative, right? So for instance, like if they can't do a particular riff that's on the record, okay, what can they do?
Right. And offer an alternative. Yeah.
Find alternatives. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now, if they're just super unprepared, you know what I mean? You breathe. You know what I mean? Like you really breathe.
Yeah.
And then also, I think you, as a music director, as a music director, you ask yourself, how well did I get them prepared?
Yeah.
Because, like, if I've given you songs 2 weeks in advance, you know what I mean? Say it's five charts, 2 weeks in advance. 2 weeks in advance, then we'll figure it out. I saw one time a music director that we know. We were in a rehearsal, actually. And they give the songs, they give the songs about, like, a week and a half in advance. And one time, the guitar player didn't know the riff to the song. And he looked at the other guitar players like, do you know the riff? Like, in rehearsal. And we still have 4 days left before the actual service. He's like, you know the riff? And the guy was like, I know. He's like, all right, he's going to play it. And the guy was like, well, I can learn it by Sunday. He was like, no, I need you to learn it by today.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, the thing was like, I had you prepared.
Yeah.
So I put you in a position to like for you to be prepared. So, you know, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, for the same thing for me. If I put you in a position like to prepare, then there's going to be a higher expectation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's great.
Or if there's, and this is not everything, but it is real. Like if we're paying you top dollar, or if you're in like if we're in a Grammy situation.
Oh, man.
Like let's say we're going to the Grammys, hypothetically, and you're getting paid and this is like your job. You know what I mean? Like the expectation is for you to put in the work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like if I'm preparing you, if I'm putting you in a position to be prepared, I've laid everything out, then the agreement is that you should be ready.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if I don't put you in a position to be prepared and you've given me your best, now the attention doesn't go on you. Now it goes on me now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't prepare you.
Yeah. As a music director, when you do your part, especially with the use of Planning Center, man, where you could literally send out every specific part if you wanted to.
Right.
For singers, lead lines for the guitar players, drummers, percussion. It's all there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's accessible to us.
It's one of those things too. It's like one of the things I say to you guys, that you've heard me probably say it all the time. I say play to the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we want to play to the room. And what I mean by that is like literally we don't know what people are coming in with.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the fact that you're playing and yeah, you might have known that Hillsong Tom part on What a Beautiful Name It Is. You have no right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you add like something like just super saucy right there. Like you literally played to the room because it wasn't like I'm just going to stick to the rubric. Like I'm actually playing for somebody's encouragement.
Yes.
Uplifting. You know what I mean? And that also goes again. I say this too. Like preparation leads to inspiration.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's so good, man.
Like the more that I'm prepared, the more that I can play from a place of inspiration instead of being boggled down with like, do I know these parts? And sometimes you have to be that way,
yeah.
But sometimes it's better to be like, okay, I know these parts. Now I can really play from my heart.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And
not be so stressed out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
good, man.
Yeah,
that's good.
Man. So that's just where I'm at in the music director when it comes to like MDing, just making sure that everybody's set up for success.
Prior to this, we didn't really have a chance to ever really be this close in a musical setting because either I'm playing or you're playing. You
yeah,
know,
or you're giving me the gig.
Yeah,
you give me the gig, yeah.
So, but it's been great, man.
It's been a pleasure, man. And I want to affirm you again, you know, publicly because I know, like, man, like, I do appreciate, like, you know, the whole squad. You know what I mean? You guys have just been All the Verve family, all the guys that have been coming in have just been such a blessing. You know what I mean? Like, yes. It's been such an honor to, like, not just, like, we get to serve, we get to laugh, we get to, like, and I say this, like, metaphorically, but, like, you know, we're walking the doors 8 o'clock, you know, 7:45.
Yeah.
You know, we're still, everybody's still trying to get the groggies, but, like, the attitude has been amazing.
Yes.
And it's just been a blessing to be able to serve in, like, in this, in both capacities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, like, for the church. So I just really appreciate you, man, and all the squad.
God is good, man. Thank you, Jeff.
All day, bro. All day.
Where can people find you, bro?
So I am, website-wise, jdavis.co.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter, J.A. Davis, Roman numeral two, like, so J.A. Davis, I.I. I'm also a part of a podcast called The Tribe Called Blessed, if people want to check that out.
Okay.
Or if they want to find me at my church, verb.rancho on Instagram. So
nice. Campus pastor, Jeffrey Davis.
Man, God
we're
is good,
here, bro.
Yes, sir.
Dude, this is such a great time. I think you shared so many golden nuggets.
I appreciate that, man.
Not chicken nuggets, golden nuggets.
Yes, sir. Inca Kola and Chick-fil-A, though. Hook it up with my boy.
We might have some afterwards. So I'm trying to see what we have cooking over here. But Jeff, this is such a great time. Thank you so much for coming through, man. I'm really excited. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes.
Hopefully you guys get to be with your families. Yes. Stay safe. And I'm looking forward to the new year, man. It's going to be a good year.
Yes,
I know,
sir.
This year was a little tough for so many.
Yes,
especially
sir.
For the music industry. But I'm definitely looking to 2021.
Yeah.
Creativity coming out.
Most definitely. I think if people rested during the season.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? I think that... some really great things. I think we just have to stay planted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just stay planted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? During this, for the next year.
That's
in
good.
In order for everything to be what it needs to be.
Definitely,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So,
well,
yes,
episode 34 of Sir Kevin Says with Pastor Jeffrey Davis. Thank you guys. And we'll see you guys next week.
Blessings.